So welcome to the VHS Retro Movie Podcast. As always, I'm Wesley, and joined by my co-host, Spencer Scott Holmes. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I know it's been a good while since we kind of got a podcast going and ready. You know, a couple of, you know, wrenches in the gears there and all that good stuff. Holidays, all those fun things kind of getting our way. But we're finally getting at it now and getting back in the action. And feels good.
Yeah, we, much like Indiana Jones and digs up old relics, we've dug up this old relic and kicking the tires on it once again and plan on going to a big year of 2023 and doing a lot of new stuff, you know, trying to get an episode out every single week and doing some different things that we've been wanting to do for a while. And this is definitely something that both of us have been wanting to do for a really long time. This is a separate series that we're starting. This is not going to be the podcast proper. We're not turning this into an Indiana Jones podcast, but both of us love Indiana Jones, anything to do with it. And as you know, in June, Indiana Jones 5 or The Dial of Destiny is coming out. And I think we're both probably really excited about that. So I thought, man, it'd be really cool just to look at those movies and do Indiana June, hashtag Indiana June. Every lame ass movie podcast is going to think of the same idea, but we did it first because we're starting in December, so suck it. So we're going to, you know, look back at the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles or the Adventures of Young Indiana Jones or both. And kind of, I guess the plan is like one episode a month, maybe two. We'll probably have to do two a few of the months to get everything through. But we're going to go, this will be a separate series that goes along with Via VHS or regular movie reviews. And we're going to review all the Young Indiana Jones movies leading up to Indiana Jones 5. And of course, we'll do the films in June leading up to the movie. So this, we're going to go through the whole canonical Indiana Jones films. There's other stuff, you know, video games, books, but at least we'll have this done.
Exactly. Well, because this is something that we've been wanting to do for so long. We even had an episode that we did about a year ago or something like that, where we picked we just picked a random center of the road Indiana Jones Chronicles episode and just said, hey, let's try this out. And it never really kind of, I don't think we ever put it up or anything like that. But it was one of those things that this is one of those series that for years I always wanted to have like that box set of it. And I could remember when there used to be just a straight VHS box set and you'd see that in stores, but it was like that way out of the price. Like you're never going to get, it was like $140. Yeah. So somewhere over here, I got one of them back there too. I like the singular ones. I think I got the one that came in the set that somebody else obviously got of like when you bought like Indiana Jones in like 1995 and it came with the movies. And then there was one random Indiana Jones Chronicles episode slapped to it.
Yeah. There's the four of them in particular. I've got three. Yeah. I think I've got a third one somewhere that's red, but I got the two yellow case ones, but I think there was a set of Indiana Jones at one point in time they were selling at the stores. I had the movies and I had like, I think it maybe had four of those episodes packed in with it because those are the ones you see all the time. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's been a couple times when I've got like a lot of VHS off, you know, Marketplace or something. And then I would get like a duplicate of the ones I already have. So those are pretty prevalent, but the weird thing is this series, you know, to people who are like kind of retro nerds, like we are, nostalgia nerds, or Indiana Jones nerds, people like that know of this series, but just in terms of broader sense, this is completely forgotten and definitely not talked about enough. And, yeah. I'm excited to jump into it.
Yeah, well, it's always been kind of like a hidden, and I think it's just because every single time there was a release of it, it was always very expensive, because I also remember when the DVDs came out, and I really wanted the full DVD set of it, you know, and that was it. Once again, it was like $140 or something like kind of up there, and, you know, you would see it like sitting at like a Suncoast or a warehouse or in, you know, one of those places, and yeah, it just kind of was that thing it's to this day, it's still expensive. You go on Amazon right now, I think the whole set's like $180 or something. I don't even think it's on Blu-ray. It's just DVD still. You know, it's not cheap whatsoever. Even on eBay, you try to find one used, you're still paying over $100 for it. you know? So I think that's the thing, is that it never had a proper like mainstream release. It was kind of released as like, hey, if you got the money, here it is for, you know, the few fans that really want it.
Well, for like 10 minutes last year, I want to say it was like a month, it was on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, they pulled that as quick as possible.
Yeah, it's weird. It's I'm not really sure what's going on with that. So let's kind of set this up, because there's a lot of things to get into. You mentioned that we did an episode of this last year sometime, maybe even 2 years ago. And The reason we never released it, that's the only time we both agreed not to release something, because we were very confused by what we watched. We liked it, but it was very disjointed. And we felt like we were picking up in the middle of something, and we were very lost and confused. And the reason why, well, there's two reasons why. One, because we were picking up in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was like episode 22 or something.
Yeah, that was part of it. But the other reason was because I just thought these were kind of like standalone stories. There's no overarching feel to it. But there is a little bit of that. And then also, this is actually two series. So there was the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles that aired on ABC, which I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. And it was kind of episodic. There was like, I think there was some feature length movies mixed in, but most of those were later, trying to kind of revive the series. But most of them were like 45 minute long, you know, episodes, which on TV with commercials in the 90s, kids, that would have been about an hour long.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and then later on, after this kind of went to the wayside and was defunct, George Lucas, who can't leave anything alone, took these and Lucasfilm re-edited them, and all of them, into movies. And even when it was on Paramount Plus, that's the form that you got them in. And it's kind of weird when they do it like that. And it's an uneven watch, but we found, and I know I'm talking a lot, so I'm sorry, but we found on YouTube a series that this gentleman had put together. It's called Young Indy Restored. Shout out to that individual. I'm going to try to email this person and talk to him. But it's everything's in chronological order, but everything's in the original format. And it's not the best quality, but it's at least chronologically sensical.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing, too, is like, it's always so hard to find that exact quality. It's like one of those ones, unless you want to spend that over $100. I think that's like the only way. But this one's a nice one that it's light laid out. It's there. You know what I mean? Like, it's in the right order, you know, and so on. And there's even just, you know, alternative ways to watch it too. He's even got another playlist where it plays in like a different like kind of setup.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's these aren't re-edited in the movies. And I know that also George, from what I understand, like when we watched it, there's bookends in the show. There was a beginning, a middle, and an end where there was an old indie. And it kind of, they use that as a segue to get into the next part of the story, because this first story that we're going to talk about jumps around a lot. And I think that's another reason we were confused when we watched it, because they took out all the old indie stuff.
Yeah.
Which a gentleman, George Hall, plays like a 90-year-old Indiana Jones at a museum in New York. And those bookends definitely help the transition when you're bouncing around the globe. So yeah, I'm excited to watch it in this order. But did you have any knowledge of this as a kid? Did you watch this at all as a kid?
You know, what my knowledge of this more than anything else is when I was a kid, I had the Sega Genesis Young Indiana Jones Chronicles video game. Like that was kind of my thing, is I had that and I knew of it. And then I had a couple comic books of Young Indiana Jones, but I don't think I ever really saw this on ABC, though I actually got ABC, you know, over the antenna. You know, that was actually one of the few channels I could kind of pick up. So I'm not too sure how I exactly kind of missed it, but I just remember like it wasn't that long after, it was, you know, in the mid to later 90s, was looking for that VHS set of them all. Was kind of that was sort of the start of it. So I was definitely past it, but the video game on the Sega Genesis was my lead in.
See, I don't think I even remember playing the video game on the Sega, or was it on Super Nintendo too?
I don't think it actually was, because there's a regular Indiana Jones game on Super Nintendo, but I don't think the Indiana Jones Chronicles one is.
I'll be interested to look at that. Maybe we'll talk about that in another episode too, kind of do a segue into that, because that would be interesting. But
yeah.
Yeah, see, I feel like this was marketed poorly. You know, I watched ABC a lot as a kid. You know, you have the TGIF block, Family Matters, Full House, you mm-hmm. know, later Boy Meets World, Step by Step, you know, all that stuff. And then also I was into sports, so Monday Night Football was still on ABC back in the day. So I don't remember this being advertised, even as a young kid when this came out. So I was like, I was going on 8 years old. I still would have been really into this. And I would have been excited about this. And it was designed for kids as an educational thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could tell that when you're watching it. There's an educational element to this. And I would have watched the shit out of this, but I don't remember this at all as a kid. I do not. And when you look at the scope of this fucking show, like how big it was,
yeah,
like they should have put more money into marketing. I guess all the money went to the show because this was not marketed well at all. And this is a very unique thing in the 90s for a show like this to exist.
Yeah, well, because it's like you see certain like action scenes and, you know, some of the just in the few stuff we watched, it's like it is kind of mind blowing, like how much they put into the production value mm-hmm. of it. And, you know, I think of myself because this would have been out when I was about 5 to 6 years old. So like I would have been kind of at that young age. But there's that I feel like I would have still been like it would have been the perfect one for my parents to be like, hey, here's it. There's free Indiana Jones on TV, because I told the story before, like when I was a kid and I asked, hey, mom, can we watch some Indiana Jones? Oh, we don't got Indiana Jones, but we got Romancing the Stone taped off TV. So here you go. That yeah. was my Indiana Jones growing up. So I felt like if there was any free Indiana Jones on TV, that would have been even better.
Yeah, like it's the weirdest thing. It's the production value on this obviously is it pales in comparison to the movies, but compared yeah. to TV, I mean, and if you're a younger viewer watching this, you know, that might not make sense because the scope of television has shot so far forward. I mean, it's almost cinematic now. I mean, it's rivals that you look at what Lucasfilm is doing now, like with the Star Wars shows. I mean, mm-hmm. it visually is not that far away from the movies. Well, Mandalorian, Obi-Wan had some rough spots, but this in the 90s, something this scale, made for TV, pretty damn wild. I mean, there was a lot of, like, in the Pancho Villa aspect of this, especially, there was a lot of shots with a lot of extras, mm-hmm. you know, great cinematography. I can't believe something like this existed and it just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. And it's really kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, the episodes are action packed, because, you know, that's always kind of the downfall of a lot of TV nowadays is action so few and far between. They milk it, you know, for like an hour. And then they finally give you like 5 minutes of action. And you're like, oh, that was cool, but not really worth the buildup. This thing's like, especially the Pancho Villa one, like it's just action galore. It's just like a full on Western the entire time with more action than a lot of Westerns even have in a feature length film, you know? It's one of these things that's like, I think this thing, if it was revitalized and just kind of brought out and just, it just needs to be re-released like in an easy way to get it. I mean, the Paramount Plus thing, it was there for like a moment, but that was almost just not enough, you know? And I know we're at that weird crossroads where I don't think the average person really buys Blu-rays or DVDs or any of that stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. So I know that like, if you put out a nice set of it nowadays, the target audience that probably wants it the most would buy it on Blu-ray. But, you know, if you're trying to get it just spread a little bit more, you know, it just feels like you got Indiana Jones 5 coming out. This is the ideal time to say, hey, here's all this other indie stuff we got.
I had this weird theory that this is where Disney's going to take Indiana Jones mm-hmm. after Indy 5. And I would not be shocked if they just completely remade this series to a certain extent, like take a lot from it. It's weird that it's not being milked right now with Indy 5 coming out. You would think they'd put it back on Paramount Plus, or maybe even Disney will try to get the distribution rights to it, which I'm surprised they haven't pushed more forward with Indy. Because mm-hmm. Indy 5 is going to be a Disney movie. I mean, it's under Lucasfilm. I don't think Paramount's going to have anything to do with it. I mean, I might be wrong, but I think it's, I mean, is that correct? I mean, Lucasfilm was completely owned by Disney, right?
You know, I think so. I don't know if it's gonna be one of those weird, like the Spider-Man movies where it's like a half kind of weird partnership thing. But
yeah,
I feel like I was like as much. I watched the trailer twice, and I'm drawing a blank if I remember anything Paramount popping up on there.
Mm-mm. I remade a trailer for I put it on TikTok. I re-edited it and made it look VHS and grainy, and I put the Lucasfilm Limited logo at the beginning of it, and then added a Paramount thing at the first and at the end of it. You should check that out, but it was pretty cool. But
I have to.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, but I don't know. It's going to be weird how this plays out. But the scope of this show was so big, and we decided to go ahead and jump into it because it seems like something that we're going to absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some kid episodes in it.
And, yeah, the kid episodes are very Anakin Skywalker-y.
Yeah.
That's what I sort of felt. I felt like it's like, oh, I see where Anakin Skywalker performance came from. It's probably what George said. He's like, hey, just watch a bunch of these Indiana Jones Chronicles episodes. You'll know what to do.
So a couple of weird Star Wars crossovers to this. One, I watched a little mini documentary on it. It was like 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just George Lucas and Sean Patrick Flannery. Right?
Yeah.
Flannery talking about the show. And he plays like the 16 to 18 year old Indy, or maybe 16 mm-hmm. to 20 throughout the show. And the kid's like in a handful of episodes. I think it was meant to be even with the kid getting half the billing and then the older Indy, like 16 to 20, getting the other half. And then it ended up being like, let's get this fucking kid out of here. Just focus on. But there's a couple Star Wars crossovers in it. One, George used a lot of the technology. Like, he used some digital technology in this as he was getting ready to make the Star Wars stuff. This was kind of like a testing ground for some of that, which I found mind blowing. So you're getting that on ABC television for free, you know, working in some of this new digital technology. But when I was speaking of Anakin, not only did the kid remind me of Anakin, but I was watching, if you watch that 7 minute long video, which I might put a link to it, it's just George and Sean Patrick Flannery talking about the show. And he looks like, in that video, he looks like a mix between Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen. Like if they like actually morphed into a person, it's so bizarre. I was like, oh, George has a type for real.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Like, when he does, women and men, like Keira Knightley, you know, Natalie Portman, Carrie Fisher, you know, even when later on he didn't cast it, but even, you know, Daisy Ridley, they all kind of fit that same bill. Mm-hmm. And then the indie stuff, I guess, kind of has the same thing going on.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing else I think is kind of funny is like when you got the old indie, I love how like when the old indie's telling the story, it's like, I just thought like it felt very Forrest Gumpy, but before Forrest Gump. He's just like, here's this old man sitting down on pretty much a park bench and like, you know, and he's telling stories like, oh, well, let me tell you when I met Lawrence of Arabia and the time that I met Bonjovia. You know, because it always feels like, is there just going to be different people that come to sit next to this crazy old man in the museum?
I think, yeah. I think that's what's going to happen this whole time. Or maybe those kids will come back.
Those ultra 90s kids came back like,
yeah.
Hey, man, this place is lame, bro.
I was thinking about you because it's like, I can't wait. I can't wait for Spencer to hit me with that 90s kid attitude he talks about.
Like that right there, those kids were just literally walking around with that kind of stuff. That just reminds me, like, whenever I see that kind of stuff, I'm like, you know, that's just like an older person, like, looking at the youth at the time and being like, these stupid kids, let me tell you, like, how they're acting. You know what I mean? They're walking around, their skateboards and their flashy pants and all this kind of stuff, you know, like, talking this weird type of jive that I don't even get anymore. I thought I knew it all. You know, in the 50s, I had it covered, but not anymore.
I can't wait. Yeah, it's basically like a South Park episode. It's like, oh, let me tell you about the time I met George Patton. If you bitch, you hear your gas doing. I mean, that's basically, yeah, that's basically what it is. It's yeah. So okay, so we're going to the first episode, and so this one was feature length. So we're only doing one this time because we wanted to kind of introduce the series and talk about the series, and then also do one episode. And it's broken into two parts, but it's an over, there's an overarching story between both parts. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much this is going to go into every episode or if it is in every episode, but as we mentioned, it starts with that there's these kids in a museum. They're walking around being little 90s assholes, like the kid in Jurassic Park. Like, that's not that scary. And then yeah. Alan Grant's like, well, let me show you what a velociraptor is going to do to your bowels. So basically, it's not very different here. These kids are walking around unattended, and this creepy old man is like, hey, I got some stories for you. And they're like, sure, let's listen. And they go into the first part of the tale, which was about young Indy's, like, early day. I think he's 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to go through the whole plot, but it's kind of a... It did give some interesting backstory to Indy. Like, you learn his birth date, which I already kind of knew, but you learn, you know, about where he grew up and stuff and how he became, got into this world. And it was kind of pretty cool.
Yeah. And then you got, Indy's dad in there and so on. And he's sending him off to a place. He's like, oh, we're going to take you to England where I learned. And this old lady right here, she was a master instructor. You're like, oh man, I have to go live with the old like witch lady. You're like, don't give me that 90s attitude there, Junior. You know, yeah.
this is 1910. Okay. Don't start with that mess.
You're gonna take this, you know, instructor lady, which I love how like later on this instructor lady, there's a scene where she's all like, it's like this lady's like 75 years old teaching Indiana Jones. And she's all like, Indy, you want to go climb a pyramid? And she just starts climbing up the side of the pyramid. I'm like, whoa, like that lady's intense. Like, I'm pretty sure they don't want you doing that there. I know it's 1910 and there's not really any rules, but I don't think you just go randomly climbing the side of a pyramid. Where are you going?
That character drops all pretense like really fucking quick. So Indy's dad gets a job where he's going to go around to universities and talk about being smart, I guess. I don't fucking know. But he's like, he's going to go all over the world. And like, hey, let's take our kid. And so they're like, they need a teacher because he's not going to stop going to school. So he goes back to, I think it was in Oxford. And says, hey, let's get my old teacher from Oxford to, you know, travel around the country. She's like, I ain't teaching this little shit. But then he's like, yeah, but you get to see the world if you come with me. And she's like, okay, fine, I want to travel. And then she's kind of batty and mean and whatever. And then, yeah, like the next thing you know, she's climbing one of the fucking Great Pyramids because, you know, YOLO, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either, you know. And then all of a sudden, I like when they get down for the pyramid, they're like, oh man, you know, that dirty Egyptian ran off of our donkeys or whatever and stuff. And all of a sudden, like, Lawrence of Arabia comes pedaling up on a bicycle out of nowhere. Like, literally out of nowhere, Lawrence of Arabia comes by, you know, because that just happens. And he's like, hey, by the way, I got a bicycle. Let's get out of here. You know what? We'll see some cool stuff. Hey, Indy, you ever want to see a mummy?
Hey. You want to see a dead body? I'm Lawrence of Arabia. So obviously, if you didn't know, Lawrence of Arabia is based off a real person. And there's going to be a lot. This is kind of like, this is why I like Assassin's Creed. Is because it's like fictional story, fictional history with real historical people in it and real history mixed in. So it's like using kind of history as your playground. And this show is going to do that a lot. Because in this episode, you get Lawrence of Arabia, Pancho Villa, you get Patton, George S. Patton.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that because he's there for like just a moment.
Yeah. And I wonder if he's going to show back up because it made it feel like he was. But you get Patton, and then also, oh God, I can't remember the character's name, but Tommy Lassell's from The Crown plays another character in here. I was like, is that Tommy Lassell's? It is. But that's not the actor's name. It was the character in The Crown. But he plays like a famous archaeologist too. I just can't remember the archaeologist's name, but I mean, just going through the episodes, looking ahead a little bit, I mean, there's a lot, like Picasso is going to show up and, you know, so many famous people are going to show up in here. So I guess that's, we'll have to get used to that.
Yeah. Well, cause it's that one that's like, you know, at first I just thought like, oh, okay, whatever. Like I didn't, like, I almost didn't expect that right off the bat. Like, oh shit, there's somebody there. I thought we're just going to be on this kind of thing. And then I kind of realized by the second part of it, I'm like, okay, this is going to be like, in a sense, your freak of the week is going to be like, who's your historical figure of the week. You know what I mean? For Indiana Jones to run into, so that when he's 99 years old, he can be talking, you know, stories about, you know, life's like a box of chocolate and stuff to everybody coming by. And, you know, yeah, he'll tell it the time that he met Theodore Roosevelt, and that, you know, the time that he was the first man on the moon, but that was actually just a movie of 1906 or whatever. You know, it's going to go into all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah. It's, it's going to be pretty interesting. But they did a good job. Like that, you know, Lawrence of Arabia kind of looked, you know, pretty similar. So
yeah,
they did a good job with that. The patent thing was weird. That was very odd, but there's two stories in this, and there's one little like MacGuffin that kind of links both of them really loosely. Mm-hmm. Like I was kind of disappointed in how these stories were joined together, honestly. But, the first part is, you know, he's out doing, his dad's out talking to smart people. This lady climbs a pyramid, Lawrence of Arabia shows up on a bicycle, saves his ass. And he's like, hey, by the way, tomorrow I'm going down to the Valley of the Kings. If you want to just come with me or whatever, I know you're a kid and everything, but they'll love it if you show up. And so the old teacher, Indiana Jones, and Lawrence of Arabia go to the Valley of the Kings and they find a tomb with a mummy.
Yeah. They literally go on a body hunt.
Yeah. They literally go on a body hunt, and there's supposedly a curse. And without going into the whole story, somebody mysteriously dies in this tomb. And the theory is it's the curse. And, you know, Indiana Jones, that's plausible because it dives into occultish stuff and paranormal stuff and science fiction stuff. Mm-hmm. So when you're watching it, like, oh, is there really going to be an actual curse? And it could be, but it's kind of not. But
yeah.
It was fun. A fun little, you know, tromp through history. But I was, the whole time I was like, let's get past the kid shit. And then yeah. I messaged you. Real quick, I'm going to say one thing funny. I messaged you in the I was almost done watching it. And like halfway through, and I messaged you. And you're like, hey, are we watching the same thing? Just want to make sure. And you're like, yeah, there's like Lawrence of Arabia, Pancho Villa. I'm like, what the fuck is... I was so confused.
You're waiting for Pancho Villa to come up on another bicycle later on in the episode. The mummies too. Well, because it's one of those ones where it's like, realistically, I actually thought this whole first episode was gonna be all kid. I didn't expect it to go to where it did next. So like, get that context of that together. I almost kind of wish Pancho Villa was the guy that rolled up on the Egyptian tomb. No context to explain why that was.
And he's just there the rest of the episode.
It was just a month vacation he took, you know. It was, Mexican Revolution hadn't started yet, so it was okay. He had a little bit of time to kill.
Oh my gosh, I was so fucking confused. You're like, are we watching the one with the mummy and Pancho? Said, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, no, we're not watching that. There's, and then I was like, well, there is a mummy. So then I was like, does this thing break in half or something, or is it like, or is he watching the wrong thing and they like combine two episodes again? And so I didn't know. And so what I did was I got on my phone. Well, I was watching on the TV, and I got on my phone and skipped ahead. I'm like, oh fuck, there is Pancho Villa in this episode. How do we get here? How are we in Mexico now? Yeah, I was so confused. But
yeah, because that was the thing, is I just wanted to make sure that you know, because there is a handful of different variations of these online, so I wanted to make sure we weren't coming into two completely different episodes, you know, because that's happened before where we've watched the wrong version of a certain movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's not out of the question.
Like, I watched Escape from New York and you watched Escape from L.A. And we're like, I'm like, well... And you're like, let's review it anyway. I'm like, let's not. I don't.
It's my attitude in life. So let's just see what happens. What's the worst that's going to go on?
Oh man, I was so. I'm gonna name this one Young Indiana Jones, Pancho Villa, and the Mummy is what I'm gonna rename this episode. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Well, it's true because it literally cuts and it's like, okay, after the kids stuff, and they're like, oh, you know, somebody died at the tomb and whatnot. We'll figure it out one of these days. And then like 10 years later, it's like Indiana Jones is just out, like, they're like, hey, you know, we got a break from high school for a moment. Like, me and my buddy, we're just going to go visit this old town, you know, whatever, on the border, like somewhere down in Texas or whatnot. And they're like, hey, you know, old soldier, where's the best place to eat it? Oh, well, let me tell you, there's Old Mays down there, and then there's this one here, and you don't want to go there. Whatever you do, don't go to this place right here. But other than that, though, it's all right. Okay, old man, see you later. We're going to go to the one you told us not to go to. Oh, don't go there. Don't go. And then as they're walking off, he just gets shot out of nowhere.
Yeah, a bunch of Mexican, like, Pancho Villa and his rebels just show up and start shooting the whole fucking place up. Like, real quick, yeah, so let's just back up just a little bit. Last thing you see is, let's tie it together. Mm-hmm. In that tomb, they're trying to find out who murdered their friend.
Yeah.
And they discover that a piece is missing, and it's a jackal off one of the headpieces in this thing. And they're trying to figure out, not through the Staff of Ra, but something else. And so there's a jackal that's missing. And then the last thing you see is Lawrence of Arabia ride off on his fucking bicycle through the Valley of the Kings. And then you're back at that museum with old Indy. And you're like, the story is still going. Like, why are we here? Oh, yeah, well, you know, shit happens. And then it's like, we're going to cut forward to Pancho Villa. And you're like, why? Why are we doing this? I mean, I'm glad the kid's gone. But also, why? Very weird.
Yeah, no, it was very kind of like abrupt. If it didn't have that like the old Indy part in between, I would have been even more confused. I've been like, whoa, how do we get there? Like, I blinked for a second, and then all of a sudden, like, it just like went to, they just switched to a different episode all of a sudden.
And see, that's the thing with when the one that we watched before that was edited into a movie, it doesn't have the old Indy stuff in it, and I think that's why we are so confused. I mean, this is the Indiana Jones equivalent of Han shot first kind of stuff. Like, why the fuck would you take that out? I mean, it wasn't great. I mean, the guy's not a good Indiana Jones, but it's not terrible. And it definitely, if you're going to be globetrotting for, like, you know, Indiana Jones, when he globetrots, like, there's a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, I meant to say James Bond. When he goes to different places, there's a reason. If you take these old Indy stuff out of there, it's like, it really is just Pancho Villa and the Mummy. Like, what the fuck is going on? So, it's just weird.
You need those old ones because that's like the narrator to keep everything together. And, you know, and it makes sense. Like, it's all lined up. It's like, oh, of course he would, like, be working in a museum at, like, age 99. You know what I mean? Like, why would he not be, you know? So I think that's kind of there, and that needs to be there. Plus, I think that one time we did the episode, we also watched it. It was like a two-parter, and we started like the second part, I think. Because I think there was a lead-up that we were kind of missing of how he got to World War One. You know, this one even has this part of a lead-up that goes towards that World War One too. So there was multiple lead-ups we missed out on to get to that part. We just jumped straight into there, and all of a sudden, it's like he's halfway in the war. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, it was, the whole thing was very, very bizarre. I have seen a bits and pieces of other episodes that made me want to watch this whole thing. I think it was from the Phantom Train of Doom. And I was like, man, this looks really, really fun. So I think I'm going to like this show more as it goes along. But
yeah,
I didn't mean to get too far off track. But yeah, so they end up in Mexico. They're like, for spring break. This episode is actually called Spring Break Adventure.
Well, yeah. Oh, and it's like that thing. It's like, okay, Pancho Villa's gang comes by and just starts shooting up this town and starts, you know, they have like a way of like, this feels like the most like G-rated way of having, like, in a sense, a bunch of gang members coming by. And instead of taking the women, they just start ripping the clothes off mannequins. Like, I thought, like, well, that's like the most safest way to say it. Instead of just taking them back to like their den, you know, to be never seen again. It's like, no, they just like to steal the girls' clothes, and then what are they doing? They're gonna go put them out. They're gonna go to town. Everybody's gonna dress up in them and hang out together around the campfire.
They're gonna sell them.
Yeah, sure. That's what they're gonna do.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but I just love how Indiana Jones is like, he sees like one girl who's like, "Help me, help me! That man's stealing my expensive dress," and he's like, "Oh, I gotta go out there." It's like, It's not like he's taking the lady. He's just taking the dress. That's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's a, he just leaves his other buddy. I thought about this the whole time. We never see that other guy again. That guy's sitting back there at that town being like, dude, when's Indy going to get back, man? What am I going to tell his dad? He's been gone for like 2 weeks and then he goes off to World War One. That guy's still there.
Yeah. Wasn't that his cousin? Didn't they say it was his cousin?
Maybe that's what it was. I couldn't remember his cousin or school chum or whatnot. But that's all I'm thinking is that guy's sitting back there going like, oh, God, I gotta tell Indy Senior like what happened. He's going to beat the shit out of me. I just know it.
Where the fuck is my son? That whole thing was weird. And yeah, so he gets abducted by Pancho Villa and his rebels. And he meets Remy, which apparently is going to be a character throughout the show, which I have mixed feelings on. And Remy almost shoots him. He was Dutch. He's Dutch, right? But he speaks French.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Exactly. Something like that. I don't even know if he's Dutch. I want to say he's actually from the country right next to Holland.
He's Belgium.
Belgium, yeah.
Yeah, he was from Belgium. That's right. So he meets this guy, which is going to be a recurring character. The guy almost shoots him, and then Indy gets lucky twice. And basically, after spending some time with Pancho Villa and his rebels, at first he's like, I'm on your side. You guys, you know, are being mistreated. I'm just going to write my dad a letter and tell him that I joined the Mexican Revolution. I'm just going to pull the Band-Aid right off. I'm just going to tell him, Dad, I'm a Mexican Revolutionary now. And sorry, I missed high school.
You know that guy that everybody in America is fearing and it's like south of the border? That guy right now has become my new buddy. we're
terrorist
gonna go
is
off.
A harsh word.
you know when you see it from the other side, it's you kind of start to understand.
I'm not gonna get into the whole story of that because there's an interesting some characterization with Indiana Jones in this, and you should watch these. I want people to watch these. That's one of the reasons we're doing it. But what links this story in the original story is the jackal. So there's a random guy in the first one that was kind of like there. And turns out this is the guy that they were looking for who murdered their friend back in the Valley of the Kings in Egypt.
Yeah.
And Indy sees this guy. For some reason, he's hanging around the Mexican Revolution now. And he's like, weren't you in Egypt? And the guy's like, fuck you, and runs off. And so the whole time he's trying to figure out if it's that guy. And he become somewhat disenchanted with the Mexican Revolution. Was that William Randolph Hearst's place that they tore up?
Yeah,
that's what they were looting.
That's when that happened. I meant to look that up too. I was like, God, like I saw that. I'm like, that's not like Randolph. That must be like another house he had because it doesn't look at all like Hearst Castle or anything like that. And I can't imagine him going that far north to tell you the truth. But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking that maybe Hearst had like, because that's what I meant to look up. I'm like, maybe Hearst had a bunch of places or had like a big old compound in Mexico or just right at the border.
Yeah, they said in there that he's like all this wealth and he doesn't even live here.
Yeah.
And I saw the name Hearst. I'm assuming it was William Randolph Hearst, but I felt like he was more. I'm not as well versed in the history as I'd like to be, but I feel like he was wealthier a little bit later than that. I feel like more in the 20s.
And this would have been around. Because he still had all the big newspapers and stuff at this time period because he was one of the ones who printed all that propaganda about, evil Mexicans and them, all the scoundrels and so on. So he kind of was an enemy of Mexico.
Okay.
Because that was that time period like that. And then he printed all the bad stuff about marijuana. And, of course, black people were crazy with it and so on. So there was so much of that stuff. So I think that's where it was because there's at those time periods, like in the, the Chronicle and all that kind of stuff, they would make cartoons about Pancho Villa, about all that kind of stuff and how he is, kind of like, in a sense, they was like Osama bin Laden him at that time period.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really how he was kind of viewed. If you were reading like the San Francisco Chronicle at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's definitely who they were talking about then. That makes total sense, because they did say, yeah, all this money, and he doesn't even live here. So it's got to be William Randolph Hearst. And I want to go to Hearst Castle so bad. My sister-in-law wanted to go to Biltmore when she was out here in North Carolina, because she wanted to kind of compare the two. And she said that she was more interested in Hearst Castle, which I probably would be too, honestly. So,
no, Hearst note, Castle, 100% worth going there. I've been there twice, and it's always really cool. It's like Randolph Hearst is like a total evil tyrant, but that place is awesome to see. And there's just some interesting stuff there. It's got even like good film history, because, you know, it's where Charlie Chaplin and a bunch of the other, like all that kind of silent age, you know, was hanging out there. And just the design and the structure of that place is kind of unreal. Like, that's kind of the thing.
Like overarching history in here, stuff like that. Cause that was super, super cool. And we didn't even mention, so the George S. Patton part,
yeah,
was really just, it didn't need to be there at all. Like, except like you're just introducing Patton, which makes me think he's going to show up later.
I think so.
Yeah, it was like, it felt like, why did you need to put this in here? But obviously it's during the, I guess, Mexican-American War. It's not that.
No, it's the Mexican Revolution.
Mexican Revolution, that's what I meant to say. But they're in a bar at some point in time, and this guy walks in, and everybody kind of stands still, and everybody's like, oh, who is this? And you know they're getting ready to introduce somebody cool. And he just walks to the bar, gets some tequila, and says something to the effect of, Pancho Villa's a bitch. He's a punk bitch. And then somebody tries to fight him, and he shoots him, kills him. He takes two bodies on the Jeep back to his camp, and he goes, this guy's like, General Patton. Oh, well, not General, obviously, like, something Patton. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's Patton before he was Patton. And that's kind of, you know, World War One era Patton. What's he doing in Mexico when the war's going on? I guess the U.S. wasn't in that war yet. They weren't in World War One yet.
No, I don't think so. And also, you know that like during World War One, like the Germans would actually go to assist Mexico because they looked at Mexico as being an ally against the U.S. when that time came, which is such like an interesting concept. Is the Germans? Yeah, the Germans were kind of trying to make allies there. Which, because it sounds weird, but like, you know, Germans in a sense, like back in like the 1800s, like they're the ones that kind of started a lot of the cowboy traditions and all that kind of stuff that turned into a lot of stuff like, in a sense, German polka music fused in to create mariachi music and so on. Like there's a weird German tie to like just Mexico when you think about it for like a couple hundred years.
Chorizo, Wiener Schnitzel, Chorizo, Wiener Schnitzel. It's yeah, that is weird, man. That is really, really cool though. I do remember reading, I don't know if I guess we'll introduce this later on, but when I was reading some of the information about this, that I think Indiana Jones, when he enlists to fight in World War I, does not enlist as an American soldier. He enlists, I think, maybe for Belgium. I guess Remy, he goes with Remy, and I guess this with Belgium, because I did read that he's not an American soldier. So that's probably why he's in World War I earlier, before the U.S. is involved, I'm assuming. But they also talk about Verdun in that little movie that they're talking about. And I know there's an episode about that later on. So I don't know if that's like a historical mistake or whatever. I guess we'll find out, but I know that that's a pretty important part of World War One. So.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, well, that part went on for so long as is. So there's probably enough time for Indy to get there. But I think that was true, because I remember that was one of those ones like, what the heck? Why is he? Because I remember when we were watching the other episode, we're like, why is he in the Belgian army? Like, what the hell happened here? Because like, we didn't see that previous.
That's right. Yeah. You're right. That's
100%. So it's now starting to come together a lot more with this one here, you know?
Yeah. This is definitely the way to do it, as opposed to what we're going to do. Even if we watch the movies.
I just like how you're like, you know what? This is the way to do it. You should just watch the show from the first episode forward. It's just so much logic right there. You know, I mean, why? So many shows, I start them in episode 24 and just sort of see what happens.
Well, I thought when I watched it the first time, I'm like, maybe this is like Clone Wars, the animated show, because chronologically, that show's all over the fucking place. Like, you'll have stuff in season one that's like supposed to be part of the story in like the last season and vice versa. I mean, it's crazy. So I thought when we watched that first thing, I'm like, well, maybe that's a Lucasfilm thing. Like, they just like to fuck around with time or whatever. But
yeah,
no. But I think part of it also was just that they were mixing stuff together and making ass movies.
Well, and I think it kind of smart for the very first episode to give not just the kid, but give a kid and a teenage one. Because I think if someone would have just watched just the kid one, I think it would have been like, yeah, it's got kind of a dumb kid and I don't think it's for me. You know what I mean? But as long as I think because you knew that this was a 2-hour special in a sense with commercials, that you would have watched the other part and be like, oh, okay, the Pancho Villa. So there we go. Okay, it's picking up. It's picking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was because the kid thing dragged on for a while.
Yeah, and the kid just felt kind of like, I'm a dumb little kid. I mean, he's not dumb, but, you know, he's just being like, I'm a goofy kid who's very optimistic. You know, I'm going around. I mean, I'll even say this, even teenage Indiana Jones is very naive. Like, he does some stuff in there. You're like, dude, what are you doing? Like
well, it's George like just said,
chasing after the, you know, the girl's dress. Like, dude, they all got guns. What are you going to do? How are you going to stop them? There's like 40 of them.
Yeah, George talked about that in that little documentary. He said he wanted somebody who had some naivete to kind of portray the character a little bit, because he's a younger Indy. He's less wise in the ways of the world. Because when you fast forward the Raiders, and like he walks in that bar where Marion Ravenwood is like a fucking boss, and his pimp head is much stronger by then.
Yes,
you know,
most definitely.
One real quick Easter egg I saw in here that I thought was really well done. Mm-hmm. Really, really well done. So, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, there's that opening part with young Indy, played by River Phoenix.
Yeah.
And he gets caught on the train, and he falls in there. There's a lion. He looks behind him. There's a whip. He whoosh, cracks a whip for the first time, cuts his chin. And that's their way of explaining Harrison Ford's real-life scar on his chin for Indiana Jones. And that's what they did. And so he cuts his chin. Oh, that's where Indy's scar came from. In this one, he's fighting that Demetrius guy who's got the jackal. He discovers who he is. It's the last scene before he leaves Pancho Villa's little band of rebels. He's going to go get that jackal. Mm-hmm. Confronts the guy. They get into a fight, and he goes to grab a whip. And right when he grabs the whip, he does this. He puts his hand on his chin before he whips it, because he's like, oh, shit, that hurt. Remember?
Yeah, I don't want to whip twice. Yeah, I know that. I didn't think about that at the time, but that makes total sense.
Yeah, that I thought that was really clever, because that's the first thing I thought of when he grabbed that whip. I'm like, are they going to stick to their guns on that? Are they going to, you know? And they did. Like, before he whipped it, he grabbed his chin for a second, and then I thought that was really cool.
One other thing I liked a lot too was there's that scene towards the end where like Pancho Villa's guys are like stealing the guy's chickens, and he's like, "Whoa, no, not the chickens again!" And then Indy's like, "Whoa, what's going on? I mean, like, you know, it's revolutionary. I'm here to." He's like really white knight. He's like, "I'm here to help you, man. I'm from New Jersey, get it? I'm here to help you, you know." And he's like,
"Part of Greenpeace, guy."
Yeah, and I thought this old guy's just like, you know, here's the thing. You know what? I've been at it for like, you know, I've been here for 80 years seeing this stuff. And every single time they come in and take the chicken, doesn't matter if it's Diaz, doesn't matter who it is. Every single president comes by and takes my chickens. And you tell me that Pancho Villa, he's going to come in and he's fighting for me. The first thing he does when he shows up, he takes my chickens. Let me tell you this. Doesn't matter who the president is, who any of this stuff is. At the end of the day, they all take your chickens. And now he says it more eloquently than that. But I really, that scene right there, I was like, that's a great scene right there, just to kind of say that.
100%.
Oh, my gosh. That's just like that right there was just like, one, it gives Indy a lot, because it would be for him being so naive. It's kind of like just him finally getting kind of broken down. Like, dude, you got to see things. The world's more than just black and white. It's very gray, you know. Mm-hmm. And also just that kind of explanation was just such a simple way to really just say that, like, no matter who it is, nobody is really that good of a person. At the end of the day, they're still going to take your chickens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Pancho Villa. He realized the hypocrisy in what he was doing, and that they're not as great as they said they were. And they might have had a good cause, but they were, you know, there was a lot of wrong ways of doing things, like ransacking the Hearst mansion, even though Hearst probably deserved it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's still that pirate mentality in a sense. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, like by the time everything's said and done, maybe it's good, but there's a lot of like bad sort of like, you know, done to get there in a sense. You know what I mean?
I just like how Indy woke up the next morning, like, I'm white.
Yeah, he does. He's like the only guy I can really relate to is that guy from Belgium. And he's like, oh, and it's also the other moment too, is like there's that part where they're all like in Hearst Mansion, like watching like a, you know, an old movie, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh great, here comes the newsreel, everyone. And Indy's like, I'm gonna translate for him. I'm gonna be the cool hip white guy who's like, and it's like, oh shit. In this newsreel, America's talking shit on Mexico. I'll just translate it differently like that. Maybe they can't understand it. And then all of a sudden they start getting it. They're like, no, well, we understand it. They start shooting up the screen and everything like that. I feel like that was the moment where he's like, oh, yeah, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, I'm probably going to die. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was really cool. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous how Indiana Jones constantly finds himself at the cross section of history all the time, but it's very Forrest Gump like, but it's still pretty cool.
makes me wonder what Leonard Maltin would think of it, because I remember like Leonard Maltin's review of like Forrest Gump. He's like, about halfway into that, like, I just couldn't believe any of this stuff could happen to some kind of special ed guy. Just say. You know, he definitely wrote it more eloquently than that, but that's what it translated when I saw that. Like, oh, I see. But yeah, I guess when you look at the Indiana Jones one, it does seem kind of goofy that he's going to be meeting those people like left and right. But I see like the other like thing of it is this show was designed to be like Wishbone or something, where like we're going to teach kids some historical kind of lesson through something they already kind of like. You know what I mean? And it's going to be filled with great action and so on. But at the end of the day, there's always going to be a take-home message. And next thing you know, when they learn about this stuff in school, they'll be like, oh, shit, I remember that episode of Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Yeah. See, my only complaint I think I'm going to have with this show, looking ahead at what's going on, and kind of have an idea of what each episode's about, is I'm going to wish there was a little bit more treasure hunting and a little bit more archaeology, because I love history. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love it. But I'm more interested in that side of Indy, the, you know, looking for the Holy Grail, looking for, you know, rocks and, you know, Indy, you know, things like that. Like, in the first half of this episode had that. You're going to the Valley of Kings, there's some archaeology, but the second half really doesn't have any of that. And except for, you know, at the very end, he's back after that same jackal, but I'm kind of going to wish it was probably a little bit more archaeology, but that's probably going to be my only major complaint with the show going forward. But we'll see. I mean, they might shoehorn it in there a little bit better, and there might be stuff in every episode, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's gonna be one of those ones, like, I think there's gonna be a lot of genre jumping, because in a sense the Pancho Villa section, that was supposed to be like a western, that was really at the end of the day. And I feel like that's kind of like what that's going to be like, you know, there's going to be the war section when, you know, he's in World War One, and it's going to kind of switch like that. And I think in between there'll be like the archaeology and the studying and all that kind of build up to that and so on.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. There's a lot of different directors, a lot of different styles. It's actually kind of similar to how Disney later on did things with like The Mandalorian, brought in a group of people, and there was like a consistent tones and consistent themes, but there's going to be some genre bending stuff and kind of like, you know, moving around and different creative viewpoints and styles. So I'll be interested to see where it goes. And plus, there's going to be a lot of cameos in here. I mean, Daniel Craig is going to show up, you got Catherine Zeta Jones later on. There's some other people. I think Christopher Lloyd shows up at some point, which makes total sense.
Yeah.
Ian McDermott. I think even Anthony Daniels is in there somewhere. Yeah. I think I saw that Anthony Daniels in there, but I know there's some big names. And Haish, rest in peace, is going to be in this show. That's crazy. Wow. I just realized something. Ellen lost two people this year.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because that guy just died today.
Yeah, the DJ guy.
As we're recording this, the DJ guy, and then Anne Haish died earlier this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they had some dirty emails on her.
You never know.
Yeah.
Because she's the one 6 days, seven night, right? With Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I always think of. You know what I mean? It was just it felt like that was some weird Hollywood test. They were like, is she really gay? Well, let's find out. We'll put Harrison Ford in there. And that will let us know for sure. Because no one can resist Harrison Ford, right? no, they can.
Yeah. Yeah, <she's... laughs> that's funny. Man. I think that was right about the same time he was voted Sexiest Man Alive, too.
I think so. That's what I mean. Like, you know, I remember seeing that movie in theater because I was just like, I saw everything Harrison Ford in the 90s pretty much, no matter what movie it was.
Oh, man. We should review that one soon, actually.
I love those kind of like the his and her action movie kind of survival type stuff. I love those type of ones. But they feel like they should be so kind of like Hollywood kind of like to the extreme, but they always turn out to be fun flicks.
Yeah. We'll see. might as well look at that this year because we already got a slate of January stuff that we're going to do. I think this is going to be actually our first episode back, but I might release this a little bit before January, but I will say that I'm going to kind of keep it chill through the holidays. We're like, what are we, about 10 days till Christmas?
Well,
it just turned midnight, so about 10 days to Christmas. So I'm going to get through the holidays, and then we'll be getting ready to go for 2023, but that was a fun... I'm looking forward to this. Over under, what percentage do you give us to actually finishing this?
You know, I really want to because it's something...
I do too.
For pretty much close to my entire life, I've wanted to watch this entire series. And it's just one of those ones that's always kind of eluded me throughout time. So I think this will finally be it because we'll be sitting down, we'll watch it. It'll kind of give us a little bit more of a reason to sort of go through these, you know what I mean? Because we do the podcast and all that stuff. And I think every single time in the three or four episodes that we've watched, I know we've only watched, you know, this is, I guess, I feel like this is two episodes, though I know it's just one, but just because it's like literally two parts. But this and the World War One and everything about, like, every single time I watch them, that's like, they're great. I'm always hooked into them the whole time. You know, the kid ones, maybe, like, you know, if that was like what the majority of it was, you might be a little bit different, but still, I still was there. I'm still sold. It's a good time. The action's great. It's Indiana Jones. You know what I mean? Like, there is a lot of cool stuff going on in here.
Oh, yeah. And I think you've mentioned before, and one of us have said this, that there's just not enough World War One stuff in general. Like, it's just because World War Two is... there's something more cinematic about it. I don't know why, but there just is. I think it's because you have such a clear villain. It's such a definite evil, and you get personified by one person and one just monstrous goal that it's more cinematic. But 1917 that came out recently, oh man.
Super so good.
So super, super good. And I'm down for more World War One stuff any day. So that'll be a fun thing. And
you know what? Yeah,
we'll see where it goes.
Speaking of World War One, they did, I think recently there was that new version of All Quiet on the Western Front that came out.
Was it on HBO? Where was it? Was that on, where was that?
It was on something like that. And I remember seeing the trailer. I'm like, oh man, I'm excited for this. And then I think it kind of came out and I kind of just didn't get around to watching it. That's mostly how it is. If it was a movie, I would have saw it in 2 seconds. But since it was a TV show, it just kind of bypassed. But I'm like, well, I really like the original movie. So like, I would like to check that out.
Yeah. I'm down for anything. So I'm hoping, I know for a fact we're going to get some cool stuff in there. Like, you could tell a lot of this is bouncing around through that. And one thing that's cool about this show, and the last thing kind of we'll wrap up on, we mentioned the scale of this, the scope. This is filmed on location. Like, when they go to an exotic country, they go there. Like, Sean Patrick Flannery was talking about when he went and did like the Africa stuff, they were in tents for like 2 months.
Yeah.
And like really camping, really doing Indiana Jones type shit, you know, out in Africa. And they had to like do a pass by of the, you know, airport to get the gazelles off the runway so like they can land. And I mean, that's really, really cool stuff. I mean, this is a full ass adventure for a long time. And so just the scope of this, how much money and effort and time and, you know, globetrotting they did to film this thing. It's just, I can't believe this thing is just kind of like falling to the wayside. It's just really weird.
It's just like a side note. It's almost like put in the same category as like the Ewok movies, but the Ewok movies actually have bigger press than these do.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
You know, and it's just weird because it's like, even if they wanted to make another young Indiana Jones Chronicles thing, it would never have the same scope because they would just CG everything in the background and it would be kind of, it could still be good. I'm not saying it can't be, but like it's there's going to be an element missing that you just can't do anymore. Or people just don't want to spend anymore. Let's just say that.
Yeah, they'll do some on location stuff. They like to film everything they do. Disney, Lucasfilm likes to film in Dubrovnik. I don't know why, but they love that place. But they would do some places and stuff. But they would throw them into that. You know, you've seen the Mandalorian, that new technology they have with that
the ring. Dome.
Yeah, like the dome thing. There would be a lot of that shit, which honestly does work pretty well. I mean, it looks good.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those ones. But at the end of the day, I know that those walls back there are not real. I guess that's like the thing. It's like you see a background, you're like, it's not real. You're faking it. You know, it's sort of like how some movies, you watch some movies and it goes, you know, it's not, the movie can be good, but you're like, it feels like it's literally like on a set of a play and the background's just swapping. Like, I just don't feel like the characters are grounded to anything, you know?
That's my only complaint about the new Indy 5 trailer, or the Dial of Destiny trailer and the looks of it, is that, I mean, I think it's going to be great because I love James Mangold. I'm so glad he directed it. I love, Spielberg's my idol. Let's just get that out of the way. It's nothing against him, but I don't think he's interested. Spielberg is at a point in his career, he does the things that he wants to do and he's interested in. And this is not that thing anymore. He didn't even want to do Crystal Skull.
Yeah, that felt like one of those ones like him and George just sort of came back together just because, hey, let's give it another go, I guess.
He passive aggressively, if you watch the making of Crystal Skull multiple times, like pretty much the whole time, is passive aggressively throwing George Lucas under the bus. Like any really stupid thing that was in that movie, that was George's idea. Like the fucking the groundhog in the fridge, definitely attributed that to George. Like, yeah, it was George's idea. I had nothing to do with that, just want to be clear. I think he loves history still, obviously, but I think he'd rather make some like Bridge of Spies type movie with Tom Hanks or a musical or Fableman than he would go back to Indy. But the James Mangold thing looks good, but it does look kind of clean, kind of polished, and it felt too new for Indy somehow. But that's a minor complaint. I legitimately think it's going to be good as long as they don't go too heavy on the time travel stuff. There's going to be some of that, I think.
But yeah, I'm interested. The trailer looked good. It's still Indiana Jones, you know. Hopefully, just as anything of that, I just hope it's not too Disney-ified. That's always the fear. It's just like, it's that thing that, like, you know, it's because it's like all the Star Wars stuff kind of post George Lucas always feels uncanny. Like, it doesn't feel like it's really Star Wars. It feels like it's like expensive fan fiction, you know, and there's just something off in it, you know. So I hope that this doesn't have that kind of like it feels like it's missing the original ingredient, you know what I mean? And we're going to feel like we're getting some kind of off-brand version. You know, it's like, I know Harrison Ford's there, but wait a second. There's no George there to kind of keep that centered, you know, but who knows? It could be super good. So.
Yeah, we'll see. It's, I have a feeling this is like made of stuff that's been floating around for a long time. Like, a story, concepts, ideas, storyboards. I have a feeling a lot of this stuff is being pulled from the archives, essentially, like, you know, top men have been looking after it for a while. So we'll see. But anyway, that's the first in our series of Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. And next episode, I think the next few are like regular length, like 45 minutes, I'm excited about.
Maybe we'll just probably combine those in to make them into movies. That'd probably be the easiest way to knock them out.
Yeah, it looks like the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. About the next 15 of them are like the 45 to 47 minute length before you get another like feature length one, which I think is the Phantom Train of Doom. And then because when this show was originally ended, they came back out later with four TV movies trying to continue it that way. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that Lucasfilm, everybody talks about, oh, they're doing Star Wars TV now. They're doing like, no. They've been trying this for years. It's just now that streaming is the perfect format for this kind of stuff. But it's really cool in the 90s they're doing something like this. So hope you stick with us. Watch a few episodes if you want to follow along with us and you can understand what we're talking about. But go to Young Indie Restored on YouTube. That is the home base of what we're using for this. That's because the way they have it laid out is the original shows and the original format that they were presented in initially. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're using to do this. So if you want to watch the way we're watching, go watch it from there because it's not the best quality, but it's original. And that's the way we wanted to see it. It was the way it was originally intended to be seen. So anyway, any last parting thoughts before we get out of here? Anything you want to add? Any hopes for the future of this series? Anything at all?
Hey, well, I'm just looking forward to more World War I Indiana Jones because I always thought for the longest time as a kid, I think that just sounded like the coolest storyline. So I look forward to seeing more than that one halfway into episode because it seems like there's a good like couple episodes at least, maybe even three or four, where he's kind of in that kind of World War I section. And I think that's going to be the biggest highlight of the series.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the blues episode. A couple of reasons. One, I like anything to do with music, and I think that's going to be a cool segue. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little bit like the intro to Temple of Doom. There's going to be some more like, time period-esque stuff and anything to do with the blues or the history of the blues I'm into. But also that episode has Harrison Ford in it.
Oh yeah, because that's the one episode of Harrison in it.
Yeah, he does have an episode, and he's not in the whole thing, but I've actually seen bits and pieces of it before. There's a really cool truck chase scene in it. Really cool. It's one of the trucks my grandpa used to have. So excited about watching that stuff. But anyway, Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, stay with us. This is our lead up to Indiana June, where we go through the entire series. And then there'll be nothing left. And we will do a fast forward on Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny when it comes out too. So we're going to have the whole thing for you, a whole database, and there for posterity if you want to go back and have an after show of each episode as you watch through it. So anyway, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more Via VHS, more of the regular format stuff, more movie reviews, stuff like that. And once or twice a month, stay tuned for more Indiana Jones Chronicles. So with that, thank y'all very much. Y'all have a good one. And Via VHS is out.